From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Y. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
I began by identifying those areas of my district where drug trafficking was least harmful and proceeded to push all street-level dealing towards those areas.
Maybe you remember this scene from the HBO series The Wire. Possibly my favorite show of all time, certainly top five. In it, Baltimore Police Major Bunny Colvin is explaining his controversial strategy for curbing violence around drug dealing.
Either they move their people to one of three designated areas where drug enforcement was not a district priority, or they face the wrath of every able-bodied soul in my district.
Basically, Major Colvin makes a deal with the drug dealers. If they leave the corners and go to one of three designated sites, police won't bother them.
How were you able to effectively...
Jesus Christ, you nit. Don't you see what he's done? He's legalized drugs.
Now, to be clear, Philadelphia is not considering this strategy. But the city, faced with a high number of overdoses from opioid use, is looking at another unorthodox solution. One that involves looking the other way on criminal behavior in order to save lives. Supervised injection sites.
Where addicts can openly shoot heroin and other drugs under medical supervision.
Today's show, injecting controversy. Philadelphia could be the first city in the country to open a supervised injection site. And the man spearheading that effort, former Philadelphia Mayor Ed Rendell, was also at the forefront of another public health crisis in the 1990s, the AIDS epidemic. I talked about that with WHYY's Bobby Allen.
So in Philadelphia, at the height of the AIDS crisis, more than 900 people died from HIV infections.
It's mysterious, it's deadly, and it's baffling medical science. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Not since cancer, polio, tuberculosis, or leprosy has a disease caused such widespread fear.
To really understand the toll, I talked to some AIDS activists who were in Philadelphia in the 90s, including Chris Bartlett.
Many of us were dying. We were going to memorial services all the time.
He now runs the William Way LGBT Community Center, and he talks about just how intense the crisis was back then.
And we felt the pressure of death on all sides.
And the city health department said at the time that a third of them were because people were using dirty needles, that a third of the deaths involved injected drug use.
What were some potential solutions that people were putting forward?
AIDS activists at the time, before this was sanctioned by the city, before the city tried to give it its blessing, were setting up on street corners in Kensington. They were driving vans and for a few hours a day handing out clean needles. And they said, you know, drug users, bring your dirty needles. In exchange, we'll give you clean ones. And this was a way to try to contain the wild spread of the AIDS crisis.
How did politicians regard needle exchanges at the time?
So Ed Rendell was hearing from his public health commissioner, Robert Ross, was hearing from activists. And at first, Ed Rendell told me he wasn't so thrilled about the idea.
You know, it's easy to say, well, it's the law. I'm sorry, guys. I can't do it. It's the law. And I'm sworn to uphold the law.
Remember, Ed Rendell was the former district attorney of Philadelphia, someone who has a lot of deference for the laws, not someone who would be too excited to want to openly break a law, right? Then when the public health commissioner sat down with him, shut the door and said, look, Ed, people are dying at a historic rate. A third of them are dying because they're using dirty needles. And here is a solution. It was already happening.
I knew from a practical matter that we weren't going to stop the addicts from injecting themselves.
And Ed Rendell, he came around to the idea.
So it made sense to offer clean needles and offer a safe environment where the addicts knew they could get clean needles. We were notified by the state health commissioner that to do so would be illegal and that the state police would make arrests.
And he, at the time, said,
listen, commissioner, I want you to know I've authorized this, so if you're going to arrest anybody, arrest me first.
If you want to arrest anyone, arrest me first.
It's a good example of government acting a little courageously. And when I say courageously,
it was an act of civil disobedience.
Right.
What was the impact of the needle exchange programs on the AIDS crisis?
It took many years of the needle exchanges in Philadelphia and nationwide for public health officials to say by a long shot, they helped contain the crisis. And in a number of states, including Pennsylvania, they are still technically illegal, but there are now needle exchange programs in 39 states, right? And there has not been enforcement actions by state officials or federal officials as a sort of nod to the great effect that they have had in containing HIV and other blood-borne diseases, even though they still are technically illegal.
So let's move to today, 2018. We're in the throes of yet another public health crisis, the opioid epidemic. How is that playing out in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is really the urban epicenter of America's opioid crisis because we have some of the cheapest and purest heroin here. Also fentanyl, which is a synthetic analog to heroin, which is extremely powerful, extremely deadly, very unpredictable, is very cheap and easily accessible on the streets of Kensington. One user, you know, called it...
It's like being the ground zero of zombie land, man. It's crazy.
His name is Ray. I found him walking around Kensington, and he and I were just sort of walking around the neighborhood.
You know, they give out samples in the morning and you see 60 people running to get free bags of dope.
You have to watch your step because you might actually step on a needle. You see people openly using...
Everywhere. Cars pull over. Next door step in an alleyway, backyard, anywhere. It's a health crisis out here, man.
Bobby, how severe is the opioid crisis when you compare it to the AIDS epidemic?
You know, it's quite severe.
2017 in Philadelphia, we had 1,217 people died of a drug overdose. Now, the worst year of the AIDS epidemic in the city, 1994, we had 935 deaths.
Tom Farley is Philadelphia's public health commissioner, and I talked to him about just how devastating the opioid crisis is here in Philadelphia.
So this would be the worst public health crisis in a century. Medical examiner's office is in the health department. There's more than three bodies that come in every single day. All of those people are savable. So we have to respond to that crisis.
In the 90s, needle exchanges were a controversial proposed solution to this that public health crisis. There's another controversial solution to a public health crisis that people are putting forward now.
This one is very controversial.
Yeah, it's called a supervised injection site.
Where users could inject heroin under medical supervision to protect against overdose.
And the idea is to open a facility where people bring their own drugs, they sit down, and they use under the supervision of medical professionals. When they're done using their drugs, and often they're injecting drugs, right, with clean needles that are supplied by the medical professionals, they're brought to a sort of cooling off room where they can sort of chill out as they're coming down from their high. And then public health officials will talk to them about their other needs, sort of wraparound services, right? Do you have housing needs? Do you want to get into treatment?
And you mentioned one of the real purposes of this is to get people help, to get people into treatment programs. But another is simply to prevent them from dying, to prevent overdoses, right?
That's right. So public health officials in Philadelphia say their main objective is to prevent needless deaths. And that's why they have rebranded the supervised injection site as an overdose prevention site. They say this can be a bridge to treatment, and you can't get someone into treatment if they have died.
This would be the first of these sites in the United States. Do they exist outside the United States?
So there is a model to look at around the world. There's about 90 supervised injection sites that operate outside of the United States. The most popular one is called Insight. It's in Vancouver. There have been a number of studies done there that have found that, yes, they prevent deaths. Yes, they help get people into treatment. And yes, they actually do not cause a spike in crime around the surrounding neighborhood, as opponents of this idea seem to claim. But in America, there are proposals in New York City, in San Francisco, in Denver, in Seattle, and now in Philadelphia to move forward with this idea. But Philadelphia just might be the first city to open one.
And former Philadelphia mayor and former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell is once again back in the middle of this issue, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, back in the AIDS crisis, he said, arrest me first if you're going to crack down on these needle exchanges. Now, in the opioid crisis, jump ahead more than 25 years, who is putting his neck on the line for the supervised injection site proposal?
It makes sense.
Ed Rendell.
These kids are addicted. They're going to inject themselves. The only question is where they're going to do it.
So there was an announcement made that Safe House, it's called, which is a nonprofit that recently incorporated, will be pursuing a supervised injection site. And the incorporator and member of the board is Ed Rendell. And he said the same thing to me when I asked him, what if the Department of Justice in Washington comes to Philadelphia and arrests nurses, seizes assets, marshals all of the resources of the federal government to put an end to this? What are you going to do? And Rendell said,
I'm the incorporator of the Safe Injection Site nonprofit, and they can come and arrest me first.
He's willing to take the hit for this. And of course, the Trump administration, the Department of Justice are watching very carefully as Philadelphia moves forward with this idea, because Rod Rosenstein told me, who's the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, if Philadelphia opens a supervised injection site, the response will be swift and aggressive.
We have a responsibility, Bobby, to enforce the law. And if we see anybody facilitating activities that's going to result in potential deaths, that's going to fuel illegal drug use and addiction, the government has a responsibility to take action.
Rod Rosenstein, in addition to telling me that the Justice Department would crack down in an aggressive way, wrote a very high-profile op-ed in the New York Times putting cities on notice. I mean, Rod Rosenstein said, if you try to explore this idea to the point where you're actually going to open one up, we're going to be knocking on your door, and it's not going to be pretty.
What's the timeline for this this safe injection site? When could we see it up and running?
That's the million-dollar question, Shai. Nobody knows, but people who are planning it say hopefully soon. So right now, Ed Rendell and other members of Safe House are making calls to try to find private donors, and officials say hopefully sometime in early 2019 this thing will be up and running.
What's been other response to this across the board? And like, how do people regard this idea?
Depends on whom you're talking to, I guess. Kensington residents are split. Some say, you know, you're seeing people passed out in our driveways and in our yards, all over our sidewalks. You see used syringes. Why not take it off the streets? Other neighbors say,
we don't need one of these sites in my neighborhood.
I was horrified, because what it says is you're sanctifying using.
I think the question that we have to ask is, do our city leaders love our city enough to make sure that that area is not a place where drug dealing is allowed?
Solomon Jones is a columnist and talk show host on Praise 107.9. He was formerly addicted to crack cocaine and has been clean for 22 years.
You are actually standing there and watching someone shoot death into their arms. When someone is in active addiction, it's very hard to help them because they don't want to help themselves. And so what we need to be focusing on is getting people off of drugs, getting people into treatment, cutting off the supply of drugs, because if you don't have drugs, you cannot overdose. There are going to be people who die in addiction, whether you have a safe injection site or not, because they do not want to stop.
So in the 90s, critics said this would encourage drug use. How has that played out? Like, how have their criticisms played out over the intervening years?
I mean, everyone who is in the public health community and has studied the AIDS epidemic credits needle exchanges with playing a pivotal role in containing the crisis. So harm reduction activists now, looking at the opioid crisis, say, we're hearing from the Trump administration and other members of law enforcement that this is going to normalize drug use. Well, those are the same threats that we heard in the 90s, and it didn't turn out to be true. That is fear-mongering, the activists would say. So please ignore it. We know this is controversial. It's a third rail issue. Nobody wants to touch it, but it will save lives, and that's the important thing.
Okay. Bobby, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Shai.
That's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Annette John Hall. Special thanks to Jen Kinney for producing this episode. We had engineering and production help from Mike Villers and additional engineering from Al Banks. Eugene Son is WHYY's news director. Katie Culinary is assistant news director. Sandra Clark is vice president of news and civic dialogue. And John Musoni is assistant vice president of news and civic dialogue. Got an opinion on Philadelphia opening a safe injection site? Let us know. You can tweet me at Shai Ben Yaakov, or Annette at AnnetteJH. Subscribe to the podcast, and don't forget to rate and review us. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.